You know, I just, when we were singing the Jesus Loves Me song, I was thinking about how, you know, most people don't know this, and I could share a lot of verses about this too, but I won't keep you that long. But, you know, the love of God and that concept and stuff. And I've shared this, so for people that have been here, you know, with us for a while and stuff, and especially, you know, I teach every Friday, so if you're on Fridays especially too, you probably heard me mention this here and there about the love of God and like what the love of God is and stuff. You know, a while ago, and I like I said, I will be pretty brief with this, but this is just like a really, really big topic. You can really teach quite a bit on this. But I used to, even we wrote a lesson plan about this for the kids, and at the time I was even writing that, the love of God to me was the cross. Like I would picture Jesus at the cross, and I would say, you know, that's the love of God for me. And you know, there's poems and stuff like that about how much do you love me, Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, this much, and he dies for us kind of thing. But, you know, the truth of it, really, honestly, the truth of it, and, you know, because I'm not going to be able to bring you to all the verses, and I do have verses for this, they're mainly in John 14 and John 16 and Romans 5 and some other places. So just to give you a picture, I do have verses for this. I'm not obviously just making this up out of, like, a verse or something, but this is something that is really, really important that we know this. That the cross isn't actually the love of God by itself, because, and this is the part where if you were to read John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 also, you'd get all of this, that, and actually John chapter 17, actually in particular right now, I'm going to quote, John 17, Jesus basically said the Father has loved us the same way that God has loved Jesus. Now you think about that for a second. That was one of the first verses that the Lord showed me, where if we're loved by God the same way that God loves Jesus, then the cross can't be what he's talking about, because God never was crucified for Jesus, right? No one was ever crucified for Jesus. And it actually says that Jesus prays particularly, he says that that the love that you've given me, that in other words, that I've given them, and he prayed, Father, that the love that you've given me would be in them. So that gives you further clues, because he says, first of all, that we've been loved the same way that God has loved Jesus. And yeah, you know what? The Trinity teaching today is not going to allow you to see beyond that principle of, you know, Jesus is, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are all the same God. That's the Trinity teaching today. And I'm not saying that Jesus is not equal with God. You know, God forbid I'd ever say that. That's not what I'm saying. But the Trinity teaching doesn't allow you, and the Trinity teaching, just so you know, if you let go of that whole concept right now, because I doubt you'd have any verses to show me about that concept right now, and that is the truth of it, you know, unfortunately. But if you let go of that Trinity concept right now, the Father has given Jesus all that he has. Jesus has not given the Father all that the Father has. The Father has given Jesus all that he has. The Bible will never say that Jesus is the head of the Father, but the Father is the head of Christ, and that doesn't mean they're not equal. They are equal. That's why Jesus is called the Son of God. Even before you were ever a son of God, Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. And yours, you say, well, are you saying that I'm the same as Jesus? Well, yeah, in a way. But the difference is that Jesus earned all that he has, and you haven't deserved anything that you have. So this is why we're grateful to Jesus for what he did. Nevertheless, look beyond that Trinity teaching that just says that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are a triune God. Because again, if you don't want to let that go, it would be best to have a verse to back up that kind of concept. And I'm telling you, you won't find a verse that says that three people are all one God. That's kind of odd, right? I don't know how you pray. You know, I remember how I used to pray when I thought that. You know, a little confusing that there's three people and they're all one God. It's just a little confusing as who am I praying to right now? And then when you say God, you're wondering, oh, and I don't want to leave Jesus out, though. I don't want to leave the Holy Spirit out, though. So you say, please, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then you feel weird because you're like, well, maybe it's okay because they're really all the same God. So if I just say the Father, am I saying Christ and the Holy Spirit too? And it doesn't make any sense, obviously. It really doesn't make any sense, and it shouldn't because it's not biblical, right? Three people can't be one God. That's logic, right? Biblical logic. Three people cannot be one God. Makes sense? Probably not to some of us, but that's okay. I've heard people before say, thank you for that thunderous silence. But that's kind of, because sometimes we're like, you know, it's a little hard to grasp because it's like, this is like the cornerstone of Christianity. But the Father has, and particularly in his resurrection, the Father gave Jesus all that he has. But right now I'm talking about in his resurrection, okay? When Jesus was raised from the dead, the Father gave Jesus his love, okay? And this is what Jesus is talking about. You can read John 17 for yourself, and it says that. And Jesus was just praying that, Father, the same way that you are going to, future tense really, love me, I pray that, that same love would be on the inside of them. So the cross can't be that love he's talking about, because Jesus is talking about a love that he's received from the Father. And that same love is how God's loved us. You know, Chris Tomlin is the one that does the song Jesus Loves Me. And it's not inaccurate to say Jesus loves you, but it's inaccurate to define the love of God as being the tree, because that's not accurate. Otherwise, Jesus couldn't have said what he said in John 17. And please, don't let me step on your toes too much right now, just because once I get through the whole thing, and I'll wrap this up right now, I think you'll see this a little bit better, because I'm not saying that what Jesus did at the cross is not important, but literally the death on the cross isn't the love of God. Let me explain this, and this is where I'll wrap up. That Jesus, what he did at the cross, is that's how you receive the Holy Spirit, okay? Because of what he did at the cross, the only reason why the Bible will say that he loved us and died for us, and kind of couple those two things together as if the death on the cross was the love of God, is not because the death on the cross was the love of God, but rather what Jesus was doing at the cross was getting you the love of God. That's why you can say that he loved you and died for you. Why? Not because the death is that picture or that scene or what was happening literally on the tree itself is the love of God, but he was getting you the love of God. He was providing you the love of God. And anywhere you read in the Bible, that's talking about how God loved you, it is talking about simply the Holy Spirit. Period. There's nothing more than that. And that's why Jesus can say that we've been loved the same way that he was loved when he was raised from the dead. Because if you read Acts 2, and I won't bring you there, but it says that God gave Jesus the promise of the Holy Spirit when he was raised from the dead. God had forsaken Christ, the cross, and Jesus received back again that glory, a.k.a. the Holy Spirit, or a.k.a. the love of God. And God loved Jesus in his resurrection. And that's why Jesus says in John 10 that the Father loves me because I lay down my life. In other words, you ever wonder about that? Why would Jesus say in John 10, the Father loves me because I lay down my life? Is that like conditional love? Think about it. The Father loves Jesus because he laid down his life. Like almost like the Father saying, I'm not going to love you unless you die for these people. You know, is that what he's saying? No, not the way that we would think of it. But let me just say this. Jesus' death was the payment, and Jesus' death was what earned him the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's a whole separate teaching. But that's why he says, what happened after Jesus died? He rose again, right? He died and he rose again. Well, in John 10, he said that he was going to give up his life, and then the Father was going to love him. The love of the Father was not with Jesus at the cross. Okay? This is why, for instance, the Bible can say, Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated. Because he's talking about in demonstration. In the Father's heart, obviously, God loves people in his mind, right? You understand that? But this is talking about in demonstration. The love of God is the Holy Spirit. And when God works the Holy Spirit in Jacob's life and does not work it in Esau's life, obviously because of his unbelief, and the Bible talks about Esau's unbelief, that means Esau was not loved by God. If you're talking about the Holy Spirit and you're not talking about just the mind of God, if you're talking about the love of God having been given, the proof, you could say, of the love of God, this world is not loved by God right now. And again, that's going to like squash a whole bunch of stuff right now. But the thing is, the Bible says this, okay? The Bible actually says that the only people that are loved by God are the ones that first love God. Again, you can see how I'm opening up a can of worms now, because now there's a whole bunch to explain, which I could. If you have a question, you could ask me after service. But the love of God loves people in his heart, and that's why he sent his son. But if you're talking about the love of God as being that proof, the Holy Spirit, which Romans 5 says the love of God was poured out to us by the Holy Spirit. And when you're talking about that, even though God has demonstrated his love toward the whole world, the world has not received the love of God, and they are hence not loved by God like Esau. You understand? You can't say God so loved the world. That's talking about in the Lord's heart, that God so loved the world that he gave his son, and then yet say that God hates Esau. Esau's part of that world. So what does that mean? God so loved the world, and Esau's part of the world, but then it says he hated Esau. So what's that about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That is what the love of God is. If you're a Christian, you have the love of God. If you're not a believer today, you don't have the love of God. Even though he's demonstrated that toward you, and he's provided the way to it on the cross, you don't have the love of God. You need to receive the love of God, which is his Holy Spirit. The love of God gets put inside of you. It's not something outside of you that happened 2,000 years ago. The love of God is inside of you. And that's the proof that God loves you, is that you have it, that proof inside of you, the Holy Spirit, which we've received. So you know what? Whenever you're talking about the love of God, make sure that you're not talking about the tree, because that is, doesn't prove the love of God for you, okay? There's a lot of people. There are military men that have given up their life for other people, and you know what? They don't love you like Jesus loved you. And if Jesus was just loving you just by giving up his life, lots of people have given up their life for other people. So do they love you just as much as Jesus does? Has that the demonstration that God gave toward the world in sacrificing his son, is that just the same as if a military man would die for his country and die for somebody else? Is it the same love? Absolutely, 100% not. Because they never saved you. They never gave you their spirit. They never poured that out upon you. And that's what the love of God actually is. If you want to know what it's like to experience the love of God, you have to drop the concept of a tree being the love of God, or just the mere giving up a life, as if that were the love of God, because that is not sufficient. It's the Holy Spirit that you have, and that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that God put that inside of you, not for you to use, but for the Holy Spirit to work through you and to use you and to live through you. That's the love of God. And again, there's so much more to say about this, but I'll have to kind of stop right there. But that is the demonstration of the cross. You can only call it the love of God if you're referring to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's how I was given the Holy Spirit. So anyway, we'll kind of just stop there. But like I said, if you have a question about that, you can ask me afterwards. But there's a lot of really cool things in, like I said, it's John 14. You can read John 14. When Jesus talks about the love of God, just put the Holy Spirit in there. John 16, and you can read John 17 also. And you can read Romans chapter 5 also for that also. Okay, so you know, let's just pray, and then we'll give. So Father, we just thank you so much for the time that we have right now, Lord, to just present these things, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, that we can take things that are unrighteous and we can use them for a purpose like this. Thank you so much, Father, for this. Lord, if our hearts, Lord, are willing to receive this, Father, I just pray that we would evaluate sometimes where our money actually goes, Lord, because we spend so much money on certain things, Lord, and it's just, it's our priorities sometimes, Lord, that are a little bit weird, that we would spend so much money on certain things, Lord. And sometimes we call ourselves frugal, but when we actually really want something, Lord, we're willing to put down a pretty penny, Lord, for certain things that we actually really want. But Lord, if we would just support the gospel, well, there are so many people out there that are not preaching the gospel. Lord, if we would stop giving to things like that, if we would stop giving just because we're online at the supermarket and someone says, do you want to give a dollar to this, Lord? If we'd stop giving to stuff just out of compulsion, we don't even know what we're giving to. We don't even know the people that we're giving to. We just call it Christianity just because if we see somebody that lacks money or someone that asks us for money, we think, oh, just give to them. Well, that's a wrong way to live. Our finances, Lord, are important, Lord, in how we use them. Because, Lord, we're literally supporting people and promoting things that they're doing and joining ourselves to what they're accomplishing, Lord, when we give to things. And so, Lord, when we give to things, we shouldn't just give without even a mindfulness, Lord, of what we're doing, without even a mindfulness, Lord, of where that money is going and how it's being used, Lord. Father, the church has been messed up before in different things that they've used money for, and I'm not advocating any of that. But, Lord, if we wouldn't give, if we would actually withhold money, purposefully withhold money from people and things, Lord, that are asking us to give out of compulsion, if we would stop all of our giving, Lord, to these charities and things like that that we don't even know about, Lord, we don't even know where we're giving to, we don't even know what they're doing. Are they promoting the gospel? Are they doing things in a godly manner? Lord, we don't even know what we're giving to. And yet, Father, when we come to a church, Lord, and we are, if we receive there, Lord, we should give in accordance with our receiving there. Because, Lord, if we're really receiving the gospel, then it's going to do us benefit and a whole bunch of other people benefit now and for all eternity, Lord. That's the only thing we can give to, Lord, on this earth that's going to actually make a lasting change is when someone's preaching the gospel. And, Father, it's not about just giving to the church that we go to. And it's not about just giving to a church just because it's a church. It's about giving, Lord, where the gospel's being preached. And we give, Lord, if we receive here, Lord. If we have sowed spiritual things into people's lives. Lord, if anything that we've heard here has ever blessed one of us, Lord. If anything that's been ever preached here, Lord, has ever helped one of us. Those are the times, Lord, where we give. And truthfully, Lord, we don't really have to mention this right now. But, Father, I believe it would be good to mention that, Lord, it's really not even a free will gift, Lord, just out of the goodness of our heart. When we give somewhere where we've received, we're really just paying it back, Lord. We're really just paying it back. Lord, a gift is when we just give out of the goodness of our heart and we just give, Lord, by the Holy Spirit that way, even regardless of what we've received. We just want to give. But Lord, when we give somewhere we've received, we're actually not, it's not really just a gift. It is a gift, Lord, because it's free will, Lord. But we're actually paying back something, Lord, from what we've already received. It's like when you go to a store, you don't just take something off the shelf, you pay it back. And what do you pay? You pay in accordance with what you're receiving. And you pay what's fair. This is not admission, Lord. It's free will. It's not compulsion. We just got done saying that, Lord. But we're actually just giving back, Lord, to support the things that we've received when we give at church or when we give anywhere, Lord. Any ministry that ever blesses us, it's great to give there. Because, again, we're going to promote our own receiving further, and we're going to bless so many lives, Lord, when we give where we are receiving. And if we just did that, Lord, the people, Lord, that are actually preaching the gospel, they would prosper. And the people, Lord, that are just asking us to give out of compulsion and give this percentage and give this, and God's not going to bless you unless this. And then those people, Lord, in their ministries would just shrivel up, and Lord, we wouldn't hear about them anymore. But the reason why we hear so much about that is because people do give to them. And what they're doing, Lord, actually prospers because we support it. So, Father, I just pray that we would support things worth supporting. And we thank you, Father, for this. And, Father, if we receive here, we just give, and we give cheerfully, Lord, and without any obligation whatsoever. This is not a tithe or an offering. This is just, Lord, supporting the gospel. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.